Good morning, everybody. And before we start, just a moment. Lord, may you speak into each of our hearts today. Amen. Now, when I was at primary school, so about 10, my mother got a job working as organiser and general sort everything out person for a theatre director. She was absolutely brilliant at it and she loved it as well. And I caught from her a love of the theatre. Sometimes I got to go with her to work and if we had a study day or something where we didn't have to be at school, and I could sit at the back and listen to them rehearse. You could hear the actors working out which way they were going to go and what they were going to do. And on one occasion, I remember I got to watch a performance which was put on for a school group that were working on it, studying it for their exams, this particular play. And afterwards, they had a Q&A session and I listened to what I thought were these really grown-up secondary pupils, who were about 4 years older than me, probably, asking serious questions. And I thought this world was just brilliant. And I saw how the actors were able to change themselves into the parts they played, sometimes twice as old and sometimes half their age. And you believe that. And then they came back and were themselves. But why do I tell a story about sitting at the back of the theatre at the age of 10? And it's because this passage to me feels like the scene from a play. We see three actors in the play and you almost get stage directions. You know, on comes Philip, runs over to Nathaniel over there, sitting under the tree. And then he drags him off to Jesus, who enters there, stage left. If we're in the building, I was thinking, oh, I'd love to have fun acting this out. And it feels, I think, really, you know, it's because it feels really immediate. I think John is just remembering how it was. He's giving these details that he remembers. And I think it's really good to think about that as well, because we're so keen to look for symbolism in John's gospel, because John uses it so much. We sometimes miss these historical little facts that he's remembering and thinking about. And I'm very grateful for how Jen read this passage as well, because you could feel her as she said, Nathaniel, can anything good come out of Nazareth? She was thinking, what does this mean? Just like an actor would be. So then I was thinking even further, what would happen if we decided to make this into a play? How would we organize it? What would a theatre group make of it? And the first thing I thought about was, well, actually a theatre group would start off by fighting about who got to play which part. Because in general, everyone wants to play the big parts. You know, everybody coming in going, I want to be Jesus. And if I'm not allowed to be that, at least St. Peter. You know, there's lots and lots of smaller parts here, but I want a big one. And I suppose that connected to me because I've been struck in Advent as well, as we've spent time, particularly in a fresh, when we spend time imagining, or if we think about the godly play we did last week, wondering about the people that we meet. There's so many people we meet in the Gospels who come in and then they disappear. In Advent, we've met the shepherds and the magi, and then they go. And we have spent some time wondering, did the shepherds tell their grandchildren about the angels? Did the magi get home and wonder where God was when they were suddenly back in their own society that maybe felt very different having met Jesus? And even what about people we think of as maybe a bigger part, but Elizabeth and Zechariah, parents of John, how did they feel about everything they'd seen and heard? And it continues with all the people we meet throughout the Gospels who get healed and then off they disappear. We don't hear of them again. Some we do, but many we don't. And today we meet a couple of these people that have, if you like, smaller parts. They are playing a big part as one of the disciples, but if you think about the number of lines they have, there might be a discussion that they have a small part. Philip, he appears a few times in the Gospels, and he's one that appears in all of them, so all four of the Gospels. He's always in the list of the 12, so he's a faithful disciple. And we see him, he has another couple of lines, if you like, taking that theatre analogy further. He asks Jesus about how to feed the multitude, when Jesus feeds the 5,000. He brings Greeks to Jesus who want to meet him. And he asks a question which gets a short answer from Jesus when he says, "Please show us the Father." But if you like, after this scene of the play, most of the time we see him in the Greek chorus of standing at the back of the 12, being present as one of the disciples. Nathanael's even less present. As the name Nathanael, he only appears in John's gospel. So he's traditionally linked to Bartholomew, who is always listed with Philip. Bartholomew means son of Tolmai, and so was probably the same person, Nathanael, son of Tolmai. But even if he's the same person, we still don't know much about him. John tells us he came from Cana. And he, as Bartholomew or Nathanael, is always listed in the list of the 12. And he was present at a couple of really important moments, that wonderful breakfast after Jesus' resurrection. And he witnessed the ascension. And again, in the wondering, you sort of think, was he then best mates with Philip? And that's why they're always listed together. But these were real people, not actors. And they changed their lives and dedicated themselves to Jesus. So what does their story, what does that tell us? Well, I think there's three things just in this passage that they really point to. And the first thing is that they show us things about Jesus. We read it as the scene of a play, we're conscious of the action. But also, just in this short passage, there are already lots of names, descriptions, if you like, that Jesus is given, just in these few verses. So in order to make sure that you're all still awake, I'm going to actually ask you to use the chat and see if you can come up with the seven names or descriptions that Jesus is given in this short passage. So we'll see who's got their Bible open and can find those seven. Mark says, "Am I awake and listening?" But what names, son of Joseph, indeed. So as I said, often Nathanael is thought to be called son of Tolmai. So Jesus would have also been called son of Joseph, Bar Joseph. The one Moses wrote about. Rabbi, meaning teacher. Jesus of Nazareth. Son of God. King of Israel. And there's one more name that Jesus, exactly, thank you, Natalie, Son of Man, the name that Jesus gives to himself. So just in this short passage, we're already, Nathanael and Philip are already showing us. John is using them as a chance to show us who Jesus is. They are mirroring Jesus to us. They show us what Jesus does, him calling. They show him reaching out and meeting people. So this first part of their stories, if you like, chance to show who Jesus is. The second thing is they respond and thereby demonstrate what we should do. I know in Centre today, this is the part that they're focusing on. How do we respond and follow Jesus? And the reaction of the disciples shows us maybe what it feels like to meet Jesus, to see him and to follow him. That's why I keep on thinking about how much fun this will be to do as a play, to see Nathanael's change from nothing good can come out of Nazareth. What changed when he met Jesus to say, "You are the Son of God, the King of Israel." There's something there about being able to see the emotions and how that changes. And the third thing we can learn from this short scene is what Philip does. And Alan and Natalie have both referred to that already in the service. Philip invites Nathaniel. We can't force anyone to believe in Jesus, to meet Jesus, to open their hearts. But you can invite them to come and see. So what does that say to us today? Well, a good sermon always has three points. Alan will recognize that. So I want to think of the three things that Philip and Nathaniel show to us in this very short passage. They show us Jesus, who he is. They respond to his call and they invite others to meet him. So that's your three-point sermon wrapped up. Show Jesus, respond to his call, and invite others to meet him. But I wanted to take it just a little bit bigger before we stop and think about what this image of theatre really could mean to us today. What about if we imagine ourselves not in just one scene of the Gospels, but we imagine ourselves, each of us, in the play of cosmic history? And the central part, we can argue what we like in a theatre troupe, but the central part goes to God. And then there are lots of small bit parts around it. Sometimes we want maybe to have a big part to play. We have to remember that each part is important. And every part is important as we form part of God's story. We have our own stories, and we are the heroes and heroines of those. But we're also small part actors in the biggest story that there is. And I think that means that we are the least important and the most important person in the story. Least important, if you like, because we can sometimes think of ourselves as one follower among many. But we are the most important because God loves us and calls us. And so we need to find out what our part is in this big cosmic history play. We need to find out what we are here for, because we are called by God, as Philip and Nathaniel were called by Jesus, to be something and to do something. And we are the only ones who can do that. So we can't argue about which part we get to play, because today, here, I get the part of Julia Bell. Alan gets the part of Alan Strange. And I'm not going to go through all 30 of you on this screen, but we all get our own parts. And no one else can play that part. So what is our part in God's story? And I suggest to you that spending time and thought on this question is probably the most important thing you can do today or this week at the beginning of a new year. Good time to reflect. If you have a clear answer to what part God is calling to you to be today, then that's great. And then you can think about how that fits in. If not, maybe it's now time to start asking him and listening to what he wants you to be, what he wants you to do. One thing's for sure, it's not going to be boring. And in some ways, if it's the part that God is really calling you for, it might feel demanding or not demanding on exactly what part of the path you're on. And it's not going to be a lonely part because God's in it with us. But there's two things that are undeniably true. It's definitely your part that you're being called to play. And it's your part that's something that's much bigger than you are. And with that thought, let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that you have a part for each of us and that you invite us into the very biggest story of history. Amen.